Our text for this morning is again in Matthew chapter 1. It is the genealogy of Christ. We're not going to do the cheering and hissing this week. Matthew chapter 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Father, there are times when we sometimes think that passages of Scripture are tedious, and when it's a list of names of who had what kids, sometimes it fits that bill. And we ask that you would today teach us from the genealogy of Christ truths which will help us have hope for the holidays. In the name of Jesus, amen. We are looking for and embracing hope for the holidays. And last week, as we looked at this same passage, we looked at the four women included therein and saw that there was hope for those who are outside of the family of God, who aren't part of the nation of Israel, the pagans. We looked and saw how these four women were essentially powerless, and yet there was significant hope for the powerless. And we looked at how they were full of pain, and there is hope for those who are full of pain. Today, we're going to look at some of the men included in the genealogy of Christ and discover even more hope for the holidays. It begins with the group of men that we recognize their names, the faithful. There is hope for the faithful in the holidays. These names stick out to me because they are well known. Abraham. Who hasn't heard of Abraham, who's been in the church for a little while? Hebrews chapter 11, in that incredible passage which we call the Hall of Fame of Faith, we read that by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham, who in a moment of incredible testing was willing to sacrifice his son, believing that God could in some way redeem that situation, and his faith was rewarded. And Isaac is mentioned both in Matthew chapter 1 and in Hebrews chapter 11. For it says in Hebrews 11:20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. These are some individuals who are known for their faithfulness. Jacob is also mentioned both here and in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11:21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. That may seem like a relatively insignificant detail that these three people are included both in the stories of the Old Testament and in genealogy of Christ and also in the Hall of Fame of Faith. But the point that I draw from this is that God includes the faithful. Other names stand out. David. First Samuel says that the Lord has sought a man after his own heart, and he chose David. There is a man who had a faith reputation. Or the wisest man in the world, King Solomon, who prayed and asked God for wisdom, and God said, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never be anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Here's God saying to Solomon, you are the man. You have asked for the right things. You are faithful. Look on in the list and you see King Asa. Asa, according to 1 Kings, says, did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. That's a great reputation to have. Jehoshaphat from 2 Chronicles 17. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because in his early years he walked in the ways of his father David. Or Josiah from 2 Kings chapter 23. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. Now, either Josiah had a really good PR department to get that snuck in to the press release, or he was a genuinely great guy. He was a faithful man. King Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, from 2 Kings 18. The inclusion of these names in the genealogy of Christ is both a source of hope and a motivation for us. Because in popular theology, isn't that exactly what we would expect? The more faithful you are, the better your chances are in life. We actually have embraced, probably worldwide, but certainly in the United States, a sense of karma. That if you do good, good's going to happen to you. If you're faithful, then God is somehow obligated to bless you. We see this played out in some churches who make a big issue of, if you are just faithful enough, then God is going to bless you with all sorts of health and wealth. And, well, it makes sense, because that's the way we would act, isn't it? If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. And we have embraced this idea that what comes around goes around, or what goes around comes around. And if we're just faithful enough, then, well, we'll be rewarded. It is a very appealing theological perspective that we can be in control of what God does for us. And it is something which has pervaded human history from the very beginning. From the times when a childless couple was considered to have something wrong. Even as part of the Christmas story, Elizabeth and Zechariah were thought to have had something shady in their background, and that's why God hadn't blessed them with a child. And it comes to us today when people say, well, the reason you're sick is because of sin in your life. If you had just not eaten enough, as many hot fudge sundaes, You wouldn't have diabetes. It's your fault. If you simply hadn't done this, God would have been obligated to bless you. Oh, you've got cancer? It must be because you smoked. Beside the fact that there's thousands of people who smoke without getting cancer, we still have this idea that if you're just faithful enough, God is somehow obligated to bless you. Faithfulness should be rewarded. There is hope for the faithful. And it drives us to be good, to be faithful. So I'm just going to make sure that for the next year, I'm not going to do X. So then a year from now, I'm going to get a pay raise. Because that's the way it works, right? This means yes. This means no. That's not the way it works. Because each of the faithful people mentioned in the genealogy of Christ have some problems. They were also flawed. They were incredibly flawed. The problem for us is that we can never be faithful enough. Let's take a look at some of these faithful men. And while they were faithful, they were at the same time full of incredible flaws. They weren't perfect. As a matter of fact, some of them had flaws which were far greater than any of you even dream about doing. Okay, some of you have dreamed about murdering somebody, but David actually did it. Abraham. He's a liar. He's willing to just lie for his own advantage. Let's go into business with Abraham, the liar. God says, okay. Because I can deal with that. Or Isaac. Oh, he's also a liar. Just like his dad, he is a liar. Jacob was a deceiver. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Okay, it was murder for hire. He didn't do it himself. He just arranged for it. Is there really that much difference? If you arrange to kill your spouse or you just do it yourself, I'm pretty sure you're just guilty. And yet, these guys make it into the genealogy of Christ. Solomon, the wisest man on earth, slacked off spiritually. Just read 1 Kings 11. Asa, he bailed on God at the end of his life. Hezekiah became proud and was judged by God. The list of flawed people in the genealogy of Christ is longer than the list of faithful people. And there's a theological truth contained therein, and that is that we are all flawed. We all need something other than our own ability to be faithful. Rehoboam despised God's people. Abijah, Rehoboam's son, walked in the sins of his father. Joram walked in the ways of Ahab. Ahaz was an idolater. Here's the lesson. When we read the genealogy of Christ, we don't want to just gloss over the names which are unfamiliar, but dwell upon them, because it's not just the faithful, but the flawed. Even the good need God's grace. Actually, the Bible declares that no one is good, that no one is fully faithful, which means that we are in good company. Well, we may try to be 100% faithful, but the Scripture says all have turned away. Together we have become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. The good news: the faithful are included in the genealogy of Christ. The bad news: all the faithful are flawed. The good news: the flawed are included in the genealogy of Christ. Because it's not really about us. It is about Christ. Maybe you don't find yourself either strongly faithful or completely flawed. Your flaws in comparison to others are minimal. That's a popular approach to self-worth. Compare yourself to somebody evil. I'm not as bad as such and such a person. All of you can say, I don't tell jokes that are nearly as bad as Pastor Steve's. Amen. Which is probably a good thing. Do you know what's red and bad for your teeth? A brick. See, I have worse than that. Who do you want to compare yourself to? I mean, really? I've managed not to commit adultery and not to murder anybody, therefore I'm better than David, who is a man after God's own heart, therefore I must be a man after God's own heart. Good logic, but not good theology. None of us are good. And maybe we think, well, we'll just fly under the radar. I saw some of the people in the choir trying to fly under the radar. They stood in the back and hid behind people. You know who you are. Generally short men standing behind tall women. We want to be, in times we want to be a little bit forgotten, don't we? We don't want to be making the news. We don't want to have that 15 minutes of fame, because in this day and age, your 15 minutes of fame is going to turn into a horror story. The reality is that it's likely that within 3 or 4 generations, most of us will have our names forgotten. I don't know the name of my grandfather on my dad's side. Wait, I do, because my dad was a junior, so it must have been the same as my dad's name. Great-grandfather, no clue. No reason to. He was neither incredibly faithful, he wasn't a great preacher of old, nor was he incredibly flawed. He wasn't the Boston Massacre, Boston Strangler. So I don't know his name. And the same is likely to happen to us. Most of us are destined to be forgotten in the world. Oh, maybe if you have a big enough, fancy enough tombstone, somebody will go through the graveyard one day and say, hey, I wonder who that dude was. And there's a list of people in the genealogy of Christ who are just like us. Not known for their faithfulness, not known for their failures, but known nevertheless. Because even though the world may forget us, God does not. There is hope for the forgotten. Look again at the list. There are names that we know nothing about. Hezron and Ram. We don't know if they're saints or scoundrels. Abiud, Azor, Akim, Zadok. They may not make the headlines. There's not stories written about them, but they make the genealogy of Christ. They may not be known by us, but they are known by God. And that is the cool thing about Jesus. He gives hope to those of us who feel forgotten, left out. Not a part of the bigger picture. These people probably didn't think, hey, you know what? Someday, someone's going to write a book and it's going to have my name in it. And I'm in the line of the Messiah. And yet there they are. Christmas story gives hope to those who feel forgotten. It gives hope to me and to you. I'm not known for excessive faithfulness, not known for incredible flaws. Living a life of quietness, well, seeking to be faithful in our way, but none of us have been asked to sacrifice a kid on an altar, and none of us have done the dramatic things of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David, and Solomon. It's a Christmas story, and the reason we read a text like Matthew chapter 1 is to see in the names contained therein that Jesus thinks people are important. You may be forgotten by the world, but you will never be forgotten by Christ. He never forgets the person for whom he died. Every one of us is important to him. He never forgets those of us who fear that we will be forgotten. The Christmas story. A list of names. Reminding us that God has given hope for those who are not from the Jewish lineage. That his chosen people have now expanded to include us. That he gives hope for those who are powerless, who feel like the events that happen around them and over which they have no control render them unable to have hope. And yet God steps in to give hope. And no matter what your level of pain, physical or emotional or mental, God says there is hope. And although we want to be faithful, and on the one hand it'd be kind of cool to be listed with people who were known for their faithfulness, at the same time those same people were known for their flaws. But it doesn't matter. Because ultimately it is by faith in Jesus Christ that we are included in the family of God, and there is room in the family of God for those who have sought to be faithful and figured out that they're flawed, wish they could be forgotten by everyone except for Christ. All these people named, at the end of the day, the most important is at the end of the list. Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah, your Messiah, your Christ, who invites you in this Christmas season to embrace hope. Whatever the burdens are that bear on you today, remember this: God has not and will not forget you. God will sustain you. God sent his Son in order to give you the opportunity of redemption by faith in Christ. That is reason for hope. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, I thank you for the privilege you have given us of looking at your word, inspired by the Spirit a couple of centuries ago, listing the names of the faithful and the flawed and the forgotten, reminding us that through the work of Jesus Christ, we all can be members of the family of God. Amen.